So John the Baptist does us a little bit of a favor today by articulating the question a lot of us might like to ask. All right, Jesus, are you the one? Will you just tell us? Will you just make a clear and simple yes or no? Are you the one or not? Well, what if Jesus had said yes? That's me. I'm the Messiah, the promised one, the one you've been waiting for. Would that have settled it? Probably not. For a couple reasons. One of them is back then there were a lot of people who claimed to be the Messiah, and they weren't. Second, anybody can say yes. So Jesus does not give a simple yes or no answer. Instead, he says that we need to figure it out for ourselves. So Jesus sent word to John saying, if you want to know if I'm the one, tell me what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news brought to them. Those are the signs. As I just told our kids a few minutes ago, God loves us enough, he did not send a book. We already had that. We had this book, and that didn't work out so well. So God came himself in Jesus. A book is always open to the interpretation of those who read it. And you know how easily we are tempted to interpret it in a way that agrees with what we already think and what we already do. But God coming in Jesus himself, that's another story. So Jesus does not give a simple yes or no answer because that becomes just a list of facts to memorize. If we want to know whether Jesus was the one to come, Jesus tells us where to look and what to look for. Now, of course, there's part of us that likes to get all literal and black and white with this and to look for narrowly defined concrete examples that can serve as some kind of proof. But in our time, the things Jesus talks about, we can say, well, yeah, modern medicine takes care of that. Social programs take care of that, so that's not proof. Anybody could do that. Yet, like John, part of us still wants proof. Well, here's the deal. Proof is easy. Faith, trust, that's the hard thing. Proof does not require any investment or risk. It's just facts and data, no debate. That's easy. Faith is hard. Now, part of us might pretend that we don't know what that's like. To believe, to trust, without proof. But if you have ever been in love, you know exactly what it's like to trust when there's no proof or evidence. I clearly remember the day I looked at Ruth, and I just knew, this is the one. This is the one who I want, who I need to spend the rest of my life with, if only she will say yes. And the miracle for me was she did say yes. Proof was not part of the equation. I did not ask, are you the one, or should I keep looking? That anticipates a different answer, by the way. Probably, yeah, keep looking, pal. No, you know how it is? You just know. Jesus is far more than a spouse or a life partner. Jesus is life. Jesus doesn't want to live in a book. He doesn't want to be some historical fact. Jesus wants to live in us. And by live, I mean breathe and work and laugh and sacrifice and suffer and play and love and forgive and give lives back and challenge us in the ways we need to be challenged. Jesus wants to live in us, not in the past, not in a baby, but in us now. So if Jesus said, yeah, John, right answer, I'm the one. Yeah. Following Jesus becomes just having one more answer. There's no feeling of love or gratitude in it. It's just one more thing to know about. And that's the difference. We are not called to know about Jesus. We are called to know Jesus. And we can only know Jesus when we are in relationship with him. And it gets better. It gets better. Not only are we called to know Jesus, but Jesus knows you. Jesus knows you better than anyone else and loves you still. This Jesus loves us enough to sacrifice himself for us and to us in order to set us free from all the ways we feel like we lie awake at night and think up new ways to mess up our lives. Reminds me of what is probably the best deathbed blessing I ever heard a couple of years ago. There was a man lying in bed, coming close to the end of his life. His family's all gathered around. And he said to them, "I love all of you, regardless." And they all knew what that "regardless" was referring to for each one of them. But think about that. I love you, regardless. He didn't just know about them. He knew them, and they knew him. It was a real life full of joys and heartbreak, but through it all, over it all, he said, "I love you, regardless." That is what Jesus does even more. Jesus knows you, and he loves you, regardless. That's the whole point of God coming to us in Jesus. God loves us enough. He didn't just send a book. So John asks, "Are you the one?" Jesus said, "You tell me." The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news brought to them. Now, let's not get too literal with this. What if the deafness Jesus is talking about is not just about the ability to hear? But what if it's about our willingness or our ability to listen? What if the dead being raised are not limited to those whose bodies have died, but includes us when we feel like we're dead inside, that we've lost our joy, and we're pretty sure the sun ain't going to rise again? How is it we might have the ability to hear and not listen? Are those times we feel like a leper, like a pariah, the people actively avoid for fear they're going to catch some kind of disgustingness from us? Or those times that we feel like we've lost all our energy and we just can't go one more step? See, Jesus comes to us in those times and places to bring us the healing that we need, and he sets us free. And it is when we are healed in that way, in those places, that we can start to feel in a new way, aha, maybe this Jesus is the one. Maybe I should follow him if I want to be free. See, Jesus does not speak to us in global generalities. He gets mighty specific with each of us if we are willing to hear it and listen to it. Jesus comes to us with what we need, even if we don't know we need it, even if we don't think we want it. He comes to us in our places of pain, the places we feel stuck, the places we feel trapped, and he comes to us to heal us and set us free. Jesus doesn't just tell us. He doesn't give us a simple answer. He leads us to experience who he is, so we will know, and we will not just know about him, but we will know him. See, it's one thing to tell us something. It's quite another to experience it ourselves and come to our own conclusion. In some ways, it reminds me of couples with joint checking, trying to figure out Christmas presents. As I tell you, after 30-some years, that can be a challenge, right? Well, there's a couple choices. One of them is you can go out and find something that tells your spouse, "I love you, I know you, I understand you, I know exactly what you would enjoy." Okay. Or you could do what one person I heard said to his wife. He said, "Yeah, here, take the checkbook. Go buy yourself something nice." Yeah. They enjoy checking. They both end up paying for it. But one of them contains some passion and some love and understanding with it. The other is just kind of this duty gift. Go get yourself something. I'm not even invested enough to go find it myself. God loves us enough. He doesn't settle for a duty gift. Didn't send a book. He comes to us in Jesus to live in you, to heal you, to set you free, to bring you joy, to teach you sacrifice, to teach you to sacrifice and to heal and feed and care for people. We are not just getting ready for Christmas. That's a day. We are getting ready for God to come to us, Jesus, who loves you, regardless.